Let us turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and for those downstairs, I want to speak tonight on the last two converts of Christ on earth. The last two converts of Christ on earth. We are getting near the resurrection season, Easter, and that is the greatest story ever told. The greatest love story. Nobody has ever loved like the Lord Jesus loved us to die for us in our place on the cross at Calvary. And then to be buried and to rise again, those are the three most important days in all of human history, more important than any Super Bowl that's ever been played, more important than any World Cup soccer championship that's ever been played. Believe me, you can't even tell me who won the 1987 Super Bowl, but we can all tell you what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross at Calvary and died for us in our place. What great love, and I hope you've never gotten over that. But I like to study the peripherals of the Easter story. There's so much going on in and around Easter, and I hope to do some of that next week also. And that's what we're doing on Wednesday night. We're talking about the seven different places Jesus was the day that he was crucified and then ultimately buried in a tomb. And here's some of the other peripherals. Jesus was a soul winner. By that it means from the start of his ministry to the end of his earthly ministry, which was 3 years, he was constantly winning souls. Whether that was individuals like the woman at the well, or whether it was massive crowds with 5,000 people that he fed, besides the women and the children that were there, Jesus was a winner of souls. And he took time to stop and talk to individuals. Individuals. And he loves you tonight as an individual. And I'd like to look at two stories tonight, one in Luke chapter 18 and one in Luke chapter 19. And these happened just days before he goes to Jerusalem and gives himself for us a sacrifice as our substitute, dying in our place on the cross at Calvary. And the last two converts that he has, we read about here in Luke 18 and Luke 19. And what a contrast. And so I hope that you will be blessed by this. In Luke chapter number 18, beginning at verse number 35, we find that his second last convert before he dies upon the cross. Now, he does have a convert on the cross. One of the malefactors, one of the criminals that was crucified by him, trusted in the Lord as his Savior. But these two were while he was still out ministering. And I want you to note that in both of these stories, which is at the end of the 3 years, okay, first year, second year, third year, and then comes his crucifixion, he only makes one and only one trip to Jericho. One and only one trip to Jericho, and on that trip, he goes by these two men one time. The reason I want to bring that out is because they had one chance. One chance. Some of us have had chance after chance after chance because we go to church every week and hear the gospel. But for these, the Lord only passed them by one time. One time. And I'm not sure who you are tonight, but the Lord loves you and he cares about you and he wants to pass by your life sometime. And we'll see that he loves individuals, even though he is encompassed by such a great crowd of people. So let's get started at verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. I want you to notice this second last convert that he has before his death on the cross is a blind beggar on the roadside to Jericho. He is left there to beg because of the traffic. They did not live in a day when they had food stamps and food banks and welfare and And for some reason, his parents, maybe they passed away or something, but somebody maybe had enough compassion on this blind beggar to take him out to the road leading from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was a main road that was well-traveled, and they would sit him down there by the wayside so he could beg. And hearing the multitudes pass by, verse 36, he asked what it meant. As he sat there, I'm sure he had very good discernment with his ears, and he could hear people walking by, and he would maybe stick out his cup or basket or whatever it was as people walked by to see if they would give him a little bit of money. But this day was different. There was a multitude of people that was walking by, and he, the beggar, asked, what's this mean? What's this mean? What are all these people going by? And they told him, verse 37, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, and this would be the only pass in his entire existence of the Lord by him. Now, they addressed him as Jesus of Nazareth. That's almost an insult. Nazareth was a terrible town. It was a place none of us would want to live. One of his apostles named Philip said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But Jesus was born there, and Jesus was raised there. And of course, Jesus was the best of all time. He never sinned. And so it doesn't matter what our environment is. And maybe you live in an environment, or you grew up in an environment that wasn't very good. God can rule and reign over all of that. And God can bring you through it. And you may say, "Oh, the world's so bad and the world's so terrible." Well, Jesus lived in a place that they said nothing good can come out of that town. Absolutely nothing. Well, the Lord did. The Lord did. And so he was identified here by this crowd from his hometown. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, now this is important, "Jesus, thou son of David." Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus is called three titles in the New Testament as the Son. He's the Son of David, he's the Son of Man, and he's the Son of God. The Son of David always refers to the Jewish Messiah, always refers to the Jewish anointed one, the Jewish Christ. And so he heard Jesus of Nazareth, but he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, thou Son of David." And he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the anointed one, that Jesus was the Christ. And so his request in verse 38 ends with this: "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Verse number 39, "And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of David, and he knew that Jesus of Nazareth could dispense mercy to the human race. And we all need mercy. Mercy is when we simply don't get what we deserve. We deserve judgment, and we deserve even the wrath of God on us, but the Bible says we are saved by his mercy. Now, the point is this. This is the first time he has ever encountered Jesus Christ, but for some reason, he knows things about him. He knows things about him. Why is that? I believe there's only one answer. He must have heard, or somebody must have taught him, some sound doctrine. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, and that Jesus of Nazareth could have mercy on him. And my point is this, for you and I, as believers in Christ, that we talk to people about the Lord. Tell people about the Lord, and it may be later that truth settles in and becomes personal to them and leads to the day of their salvation. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it's verses 6 through 8, Paul the apostle said, I have sown, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We have to understand that that's how the word of God works in unbelievers. Somebody says something and plants the seed of the word of God into the heart of an unbeliever. Someone else says something else which waters the seed, and then God gives the increase. I had a buddy come to men's breakfast a few times, Calvin Appelknapp, a dear friend I went to high school with over here in Orchard Park. And I don't know what kind of an influence I had back in our teen years going to high school, but in his 30s, he came to know Christ as his Savior. Amen. And that has been a story in my life, and I hope it's true for yours, that is repeated over and over and over and over again, that people I talked to about Christ when I was a teenager, I would find out later they came to know the Lord as their Savior. One of my best friends accepted Jesus as his Savior at 62 years of age, and he was baptized right here last year. And we used to hang out all the time. And that story has repeated itself over and over again, where I did not lead them to Christ, but I sowed a seed in their hearts. And somebody else said something, and somebody else said something, somebody else said something, and then God gave the increase. And I want to just bring that out in both of these stories tonight to let you know, as believers in Christ, you are not wasting your time when you talk to people about the Lord, even if they laugh at you and think you're nuts. You don't know when that seed will grow and somebody else will water it and God will give the increase. And that's been one of the pleasures and joys of my life, is to see so many of my classmates that have come to know the Lord as their Savior. So I'm sitting with Calvin at men's breakfast, and it was wonderful. And I'm talking to him. He says, my two sons are getting married this spring, John and James. John used to come here when he was living in the area for a while, came to our church. And John and James getting married. And I had to ask him this question. I said, let me ask you about John and James. Are you pretty happy with the ones they've chosen to get married? He says, yeah, they're both good Christian girls. They're both good Christian girls. I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That something got started way in the past with a seed. It was watered, and God gave the increase, and now it's being passed down to the establishing of Christian homes. Such a wonderful thing. When a Christian young man marries a Christian young woman, and they have a Christian home, and God's in the midst of that love, and just a wonderful thing. Just a wonderful thing, and bless your heart. So sow the seed of the word of God. Somebody must have told this blind man. By the way, what's his name? Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. All right, blind Bartimaeus, who sat by the highway begging. How do we know that? Because there's two other accounts of this story in Matthew 20 and in Mark chapter number 10, where we are given his name. Now, that's not even a name. That's just a title. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. This guy don't even have a name, just a title. He's a beggar. I'm sure he's smelly, unkept, and maybe the poorest convert, maybe the poorest convert that Jesus ever saved, and the second last one. And Jesus stood. So this guy's crying out, and they that went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Would you just be quiet? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't get time for you. Listen, if you're going to come to Christ, you're probably going to have to ignore a lot of people. You're probably going to have to not care what your family thinks, what your friends think, or anything. And they're all going to tell you to stay away from him. But the Lord's the best for you. And you may have to, no matter what your family thinks, your mom and dad thinks, grandma and grandpa thinks, friends think, neighbors think, you may have to push through that whole crowd and say, I need the Lord. somebody's going to try to stop you from coming to Christ. And this is his only chance. What if he'd have listened to the crowd? The crowd rebuked him and said, hold your peace. In other words, that's like saying, be quiet, or at worst, shut up. You know, this is important stuff. Jesus of Nazareth, he ain't got time. Believe me, he hasn't got time for people like you. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. Verse 40, isn't that something? See, Jesus takes times for individuals. And then it says, and when he was come near, boy, that's the wisest thing anyone will do is come to Christ. Come to Christ. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. I mean, just the whole crowd just stopped. And Jesus said, that guy over there that's crying for me, thou son of David, thou son of David, he knows something. Bring him to me. And so they brought this beggar, this blind beggar. And it says he came near to Christ. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And God has never stuck his hand out to one human being who was approaching him and said, stay away from me, I don't want you. People do that all the time. You're not good enough for our crowd, but not Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. And he asked them, saying, verse 41, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, now get this next word. 41, see it? Lord. What do you call him? Son of David. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the Christ. And Jesus says, bring him near. He says, and Jesus said, what wilt thou that I can do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. By the way, that's the most important question you'll ever hear from the Lord. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And maybe even tonight someone could say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need you as my Savior. Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. This is the day of his salvation, right here. And Jesus only passed by once, and he took advantage. He took advantage of that one time. And immediately he received his sight and followed the Lord, him, glorifying God. And now there's, because of the conversion of this beggar, notice the rest of it. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You see, there's been a transformation in the thought of this crowd all of a sudden. Wow, look what God did. This guy can see. He doesn't have to be a beggar anymore. And he's saved. Thy faith hath saved thee. And he begins to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they gave praise unto God. Now that's the second last convert of 3 years of conversions where Jesus just led who knows how many people to himself, faith in him, and thousands sometimes he talked to. But he took time for individuals, insignificant individuals. At least we think they're insignificant, but the Lord doesn't. And maybe you're here tonight and you think you're obscure. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody knows your name. No, no, the Lord knows you. The Lord knows you. And the Lord passes by your life sometime. And maybe tonight's the night when the Lord will pass by. Well, there's one more story. And this is the extreme opposite. Look at chapter 19 now. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. This is his last convert before he's nailed to the cross. And dies for us all. His name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a Jewish name. Zacchaeus is a Jew like Jesus, which was the chief among the publicans. What were the publicans? The publicans were tax collectors for the Romans. So this was a Jew who had turncoated on his own country and now was collecting taxes for the Roman government. But there's something significant about him. It says here in verse 19, he was the chief among the publicans. He was the biggest one there was. And everybody hated publicans back then. Publicans were tax collectors. They were dishonest. They were cheats. They were thieves. They were so bad that their testimony was not allowed in any court because they were considered to be such deceitful people. If you were a publican, you weren't allowed to testify in court. And he was the chief. And he was rich. How did he get rich? I mean, this is almost like a story from organized crime here. All right, if you've ever seen those organized crime stories where they don't build anything, they just take everything over. I'm totally against casinos, but they don't build the casinos. They just take them over once they're built. They don't build anything. They just take stuff over by force, like socialism does and communism. They don't build anything. They just take things over once you build it. But anyway, he was rich, and it wasn't because he was a hard worker, and God had blessed his labor. Now, you would think God would not be interested in such a man. But in verse 3, it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little in stature. All right? He was diminutive. He was vertically challenged. He wasn't very tall, if you don't understand what it's saying here. He was a short guy. And now he hears about Jesus, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, the big crowd, because he was a little sad. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And so this guy also gets one pass. Boy, we in America, we get so many passes, don't we? If you go off into eternity lost in America, it's not because you didn't have a chance to meet Jesus Christ. He's walked up and down the highways and byways of this country, and he walks by us constantly. But this is the one time, and Zacchaeus says, I heard he's supposed to pass this way, and I can't see through the crowd, so he climbs up into this sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, that's some wisdom there for a deceitful man. There's some wisdom. Receive Christ joyfully and accept his invitation. He may only give you one invitation. He may only come by your house one time. Don't miss it. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that is the press, the crowd, I mean the whole crowd comes to a halt while Jesus goes inside, they murmured saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I mean, that was the reputation. I doubt if Zacchaeus had a Jew that loved him. Except for one. The Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There was one that loved him. And sometimes he's the only one that can love somebody because of the things that they have done. The Lord is amazing. The people that he has saved, it's absolutely shocking. And they murmured, this man's gone in to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now we see his works, but before we see his works, we see this in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, unto the Lord, behold, You know, it says in Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, God in the flesh, all right, and that you believe that what he did at Calvary on that cross, he did for you personally, you'll be saved. So Zacchaeus calls on the Lord, and then I want you to notice, this fits right into our studies that we've had the last three Sunday mornings on repentance. We're not saved by works. But John the Baptist, in his message on repentance, said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. He says, if you've really repented, if there has really been that fundamental change of heart and mind wrought in you by the work of the Holy Ghost, then it should be evidenced by works. The works is not repentance. The works is the product of true repentance. And he says, Lord, I'll take half of everything that I own, and I will give it to the poor, and I will go back, and I will make restitution if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. I will restore him fourfold. What do you think about that? Well, that's the only thing that matters is what did Jesus think about that? Look at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of David. David knew his heart that he truly believed on Jesus Christ as his Lord that day. And his faith produced works. James later would say, in James, the apostle would say in James 2 and verse number 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I will show thee my faith by my works. I believe that's what God wants. Yes, he wants us all to put our faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior. But after that, he wants us to show our faith by our works. He wants us to show that we believe God is omnipotent, God is our powerful, and I'm going to partner with God and labor with God, and I'm going to show you by my works that I am a true believer in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're not saved by the works, but we're saved to work. To work. And faith produces works, words, and wonders, as we've seen before. And he ends this by saying in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In closing, that's what Jesus does. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He sought for me one day. Praise the Lord. And it was an individual thing. I don't know, maybe I was the only one saved that day in church. It wasn't a big church. But I remember the Lord looking for me that day, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a little girl used to attend here like this, this big. And years ago, rode on the bus and came to know, or come to church all the time, and then moved away, moved to Texas and everything and so on and so forth. This morning she was weeping here at the altar. She's come back to the area. And she raised her hand. And so I went up to her and I talked to her after the service. And she wanted to know about baptism. I said, well, you need to be saved first. She says, I am saved. I said, when were you saved? I was saved this morning. I was saved this morning. Hallelujah. And so now she wants to get baptized in a couple of weeks to show her faith. But see, seeds were sown when she was a little girl coming here. And she gets away. A lot of that happens, don't it? You ever work in the bus ministry? You say, where are they all? And only God knows. But a long trip back, and she's been attending here for about a month, and was gloriously saved this morning because the Lord's looking for her. She said, that whole sermon was for me. God was speaking to me this morning. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to be like Jesus. Everybody's lost, they just don't know it. But once somebody knows that they're lost, that's a good thing. You got to get lost before you can get saved. got to get lost before you can get saved. You can't think I'm good enough. You're not. No, none of us are. There's none good, no, not one. It tells us in Romans 3, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 12. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Romans 3, verse 19. There is not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. We're all sinners. Some are up and outers, extremely rich, like Zacchaeus. Some are down and outers, extremely poor, like Bartimaeus. But all are reachable by the Lord if they'll come and say, I'm lost, I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, just call on the Lord. That's Bartimaeus just called on the Lord as a little blind beggar and said, son of David, Lord. And Zacchaeus said, Lord. See, somebody, I believe in both cases, Bartimaeus, the poor beggar, and Zacchaeus, the rich publican, got saved that day because somebody previously had educated them about Jesus Christ. They knew when he passed, he might just be passing one time. I got to see him. Up in a tree, he goes, and the Lord says, come down from that tree. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is the day of your salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Somebody might say, I'm not ready yet. There's only two things you got to do to be ready. Understand yourself a sinner and Christ a Savior, and you're ready to be saved. You're ready, but that's all. It's not complex. A child can believe, the scriptures say. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the songs, the testimony, Lord, the fellowship, the word of God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that just days before your crucifixion, when you would die such a horrible death on Calvary, that you would be thinking of others. Even on the cross, your first words were, Father, forgive them. You were thinking of others. You cared for your mother, Mary. You cared for the thief hanging on the cross. And Lord, I thank you that you were approachable by a beggar and by a dishonest publican. You said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And Lord, anybody in this room can come to you tonight by faith. You're not here physically anymore. But where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, and you're here with us tonight. And Lord, maybe somebody needs to come to thee and just come lost. Just come lost. And say, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if that is the need of your heart tonight, why don't you accept the Lord as your Savior right where you're sitting? Just pray right where you're sitting and just say, Lord Jesus, please have mercy on me and save me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I'm lost. I've sinned. You died for me, I believe. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Now, if you've believed tonight, if you've done that, no one's looking around, but I wonder if you could just maybe raise your hand and say, God knows my heart. Tonight, I believe. I receive Christ. God bless you and you. Amen. Is there anyone else? God knows my heart. Tonight I'm believing. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I ask the Lord to save me tonight. Is there anyone else? Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray now that you would just bless as we dismiss in song. Help us this week. Help us to remember as believers to just sow the seed. It might be 20 years from now, might be 40 years from now. But we have not wasted our time. If we've talked to somebody about the Lord or given them a tract and they didn't want to hear it, we have not wasted our time. Lord, help us. Thank you for those that ministered to Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus before you passed by, preparing them to receive you. And thank you for caring for people like them and us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.